Good to see each of you this evening. I appreciate the song leading by Brother Clifford Prowell, and I especially am appreciative that he led that last song, expressive of practical, meaningful, relevant truth. I need thee every hour. Do you need him every hour? Do you need him during the hours of fear? The hour of sadness, the hour of confusion, the hour of discouragement, the hour of suffering, the hour of disappointment, the hour of defeat. I need thee every hour. During the hour of misunderstanding, during the hour of uncertainty, during the hour of rejection, don't you need him? I need thee every hour. Thank you, Cliff. Turn to the passage that has been read as our scripture lesson. It shall serve as the basis for and the foundation for our lesson this evening. Luke 22, verses 54 through 62. I want you to pay particularly close attention to the behavior of the Apostle Peter. We will be focusing on Peter. And at the conclusion of this lesson, you might have determined that in some way we can identify with Peter. Somebody has said that there is a little Bonnie Fife in everybody. That might be true. But I affirm this evening that there is a little Peter, or maybe even more than a little Peter, in most of us. Look at the passage again and follow along with us. Luke 22, 54 through 62. Then took they him, speaking of the Master, of the Savior, and led him, Christ, and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. In following afar off, Peter distanced himself from the Savior and cozied up to the members of the opposition. And you'll see that as we proceed. It's dangerous to follow afar off. You want to follow closely when you are following Jesus. You don't want too much space between you and Jesus. It's hard to follow some folk. You know, sometimes you're going someplace and you have some folks following you. And the person who is leading oftentimes disregards and forgets about the person who is following behind. And you're trying your level best to follow as closely as you can because you don't want to get lost. You want to be able to keep up. You want to be able to arrive at the designated place just as the one who is leading you arrives. It's dangerous to follow afar off. The Bible says, and when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. Now, Peter is not in good company now. Peter settled down among members of the opposition group. He sat down among them. Christians have to be careful how they sit down among people of the world, how they sit down and mingle with and fraternize with those who are not children of God. Peter sat down among them. I'm reminded of the warning that is given by Paul with reference to fellowship. Turn to 2 Corinthians, please. Chapter 6, if you will. Verses 14 through 18. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18. Paul admonishes, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? None. Of course, this was a rhetorical question. The answer was built in and automatically implied. There is irreconcilable disharmony between righteousness and unrighteousness. They just don't go together. What communion hath light with darkness? They can't meaningfully coexist together. Light now dominates in this auditorium. If you flip all of the switches, when the lights go out, darkness takes over. Verse 15, what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Incompatible. Verse 16, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, verse 17, come out from among them and be ye separate. See now, where was Peter? Peter was among them. He had no business being among them. Paul says, come out from among them and be separate. We are distinctly different from the people of the world. We have a different allegiance. We have a different code of conduct. We have a different purpose. We have different responsibilities. We have different obligations. Everything basically about us is different from folk in the world. So Paul says, come out in view of the fact that there's no harmony, there's no compatibility between righteousness, unrighteousness, light and darkness, Belial in Christ, the temple of God and idols, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Peter followed afar off. Again, verse number 54. Notice, and when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them, but Paul says, come out from among them. Verse 56, but a certain maid beheld him, notice now, as he sat by the fire. And this maid, this certain maid, earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. She identified Peter as a member of the Jesus clan. But Peter contradicted that. He knew she had properly fingered him, identified him with Jesus. Verse 57 says, and he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also one of them. You don't belong here with us. You can't identify with us. You are one of them. You were with this fella called Jesus. You was with the enemy. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirm, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. Now, in another rendering of this particular incident, somebody said to him, the reason we know you don't belong here, the reason we know you are not a part of us, and that you identified with Jesus because of your accent, your speech, you remember that? Your speech betrayeth thee. And a lot of times our speech will betray us. Now, there are a lot of folks. My wife encounters them all the time as she talks to people in various parts of the country. I do too. You can tell from what section of the country some of them are from because their speech betrays them. Now, if I talk to a fellow and he said, sir, I want to place an order on the Mound Bow Church of Christ account, his speech betrays him. I immediately assume that he's a southerner. Like this southern fella came to a college and met a girl from the north, and his accent was as thick as country butter on country bread. And he began to date this girl and just grew to be in love with her. And so finally on one Valentine's Day, he got down on one knee and he looked up in the eyes of that beautiful young lady and he said, will you all marry me? And she responded, oh, this is so southern. Anyway, his speech left no doubt as to what particular part of the country he was from. Sometimes our speech can betray us because, you know, we were talking this morning in our lesson, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Now, if some corrupt communication proceeds out of your mouth, that betrays you as being disloyal to Jesus. That betrays you as not living up to your image as a child of God. But Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately, while he still was talking, the rooster crowed, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly, broke his heart because he had betrayed, or rather denied, the Lord Jesus. And he was ashamed of himself. But he was fearful. He was scared. He was cowardly. He wanted to keep his distance from danger. He did not want to identify too closely with Jesus of Nazareth. I want you to look at two other passages that tell the same story and give some additional insight. Look at John 18, 18. John 18, 18. John 18, 18. "And the servants and officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves." We used to have those space heaters, and we'd turn around to the heaters, and we would warm ourselves by the fire. You modern sophisticated folk don't have space heaters no more. Y'all have heat pumps and special furnaces, and you can't see no fire, but you feel the warmth. And sometimes when we'd have to do some work outdoors, we'd build a fire out near the barn, or sometimes out in the field. And we'd cozy up to that fire and warm ourselves by that fire because it was cold. And sometimes we'd pick cotton when it was real cold. They called that scrapping cotton. I don't know if y'all know anything about cotton or not, but the Bible says here, "For it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them." This is the part I want you to take notice of. Peter stood with them and warmed himself. That's how we think in terms of warming by the devil's fire. Mark 14 and verse 67. Is the other companion corroborating passage. Mark 14, 67. "And when she saw Peter," that's the maid, she looked upon him and said, "And thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth." Now, when he sat down with them and when he warmed himself by the fire, what he was doing, when we talk in military terms, what he was doing was he was fraternizing with the enemy. To fraternize is to be friendly with someone, to spend time with someone in a friendly way, especially when it is considered wrong or improper to do so. To associate or mingle as brothers, that's where fraternize comes from. You hear folks in college pledging for a particular fraternity. The word fraternity comes from this same word. They are kindred words. To associate or mingle as brothers on fraternal terms. To associate on close terms with members of a hostile group, especially when contrary to military orders. To be friendly or amiable with those on the other side. Now, for the last few days, y'all have been hearing about Chelsea Manning. She used to be a fellow, but she became a transsexual. Now, she was given a very stiff sentence because she deliberately leaked thousands of documents containing seriously classified information. And she's been in prison, well, really he, because no matter what kind of changes she undergoes or no matter what kind of hormonal treatment she receives or no matter what kind of twisted thinking takes place in her mind, she's still a he. Every cell in her body shouts out, "I am a he." Her DNA has not changed, has not been altered. But anyway, she was convicted because he was guilty of fraternizing with the enemy, which is a serious offense. But in the waning days, even in the waning hours of his administration, she was pardoned by President Barack Obama. But she had been guilty of fraternizing with the enemy. To fraternize is to be friendly or amiable with those on the other side. Now, some people feel, "Well, Brother John, why are you telling us about this? Why are you talking about warming yourself at the devil's fire? What relevance does that have to us?" Well, it's dangerous to warm by the devil's fire. You might ask the question, why is it dangerous to warm by the devil's fire? For one, it identifies us with the enemy. It facilitates a spirit of compromise. It sets us up, as in the case of Peter, it sets us up to betray the Lord. It can lead, and I've seen it happen, it can lead to defection to the other side. It weakens our resolve to do right. It blurs the distinction between enemies and friends. It is tantamount to aiding and abetting the cause of the enemy. It allows us to receive consolation and comfort from the enemy. Our comfort and consolation and encouragement needs to come from Christ and our comrades, warning at the devil's fire undermines our mandate to aggressively oppose and defeat the enemy. It sets us up to shame ourselves. It sets us up to disappoint our master. It also serves to weaken or nullify our testimony as the people of God. Now you said, Brother Jones, how can you tell when somebody is fraternizing with the enemy? How can you tell when somebody is warming by the devil's fire? Let me give you some instances. When you engage in reckless drinking of alcoholic beverages, you are receiving comfort and warmth from the devil's fire. Can you buy that? You are warming by the devil's fire. Y'all looking at me mighty funny. When you engage in questionable or sinful recreational activities for your enjoyment, you are warming by the devil's fire. When you ingest illicit drugs in order to get a high, you are warming by the devil's fire. When you engage in promiscuous, illicit sexual activities in order to derive passing pleasure therefrom, you are warming by the devil's fire. Those are some ways you can warm by the devil's fire. Now let me tell you one last way, then we'll be finished, by which you can warm by the devil's fire. When you seek spiritual encouragement and inspiration by being a part of and taking part in denominational worship, in a denominational church setting, and you really get with it, you get with the organ, you get with the piano, you get with the drums, you really get into the guitar, you get into all of the instrumental music that is involved in their worshiping. You get involved with the singing and the clapping and the moving and shaking. You are warming by the, does that make sense? You are warming by the devil's fire. And we as Christians need to maintain our distinction as the people of God. We need to maintain our identity as the people of God. And we do not need to fraternize with those who are enmeshed in religious confusion and religious division. You need to get your spiritual enjoyment and satisfaction and inspiration from associating with the people of God by being a part of a God-ordained worship experience that is in harmony with His holy and divine word. Don't warm by the devil's fire. When you hang out with folks who are not Christians and fraternize with them and treat them as if they are brothers, treat them as if they are part of the family, and he and ha-ha with them, and formulate strong bonds of friendship with them, you are guilty of warming by the devil's fire. If you are, as a child of God, guilty of fraternizing with the enemies and warming by the devil's fire, why not come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. You can do that today. You can do it this evening through repentance, confession, and prayer.